There is something about that name, amen. Praise the Lord. If you have a Bible with you this morning, I'd like for you to open up to the book of Romans. Book of Romans chapter 8. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, one of my favorite chapters in God's Word. And we're going to get there in just a second. As I was looking at what and where to go this morning, I thought about everything that was going on in the world, and I thought, you know, today I could talk about everything from the end times. As a matter of fact, every time I decide to, which is very rare, scroll through social media, I see a biblical prophecy know-it-all who is using the events that are happening in the world today to talk about the second coming of Christ and saying that Jesus is going to return between this time and this time, or because this festival is happening, or because this eclipse is happening, or because this war is happening. Obviously, these biblical know-it-alls, the prophetic know-it-alls, they have not read Matthew chapter 24, where it says, no one will know the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father. Maybe they haven't read that part where it said, he will come like a thief in the night. Amen? I will tell you this, though. Everything that we see happening on a world stage is a precursor to prophecy being fulfilled. It is a precursor to the return of Christ Jesus, because everything that is happening nowadays is a precursor to the return of Christ Jesus. Because I know one thing for sure, the Bible tells us that he's coming back. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is coming back. And I believe it's going to happen very, very soon. Now, when that's going to happen, here's my answer. I don't know. And I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that I profess to know something that I can't know, because my Bible does not tell me specifically when this is going to happen. Now, someone asked me the other day, they said, what about Ezekiel chapter 38 and the battle of Gog and Magog, where the powers from the north come down? And if you read through it, you'll realize that anything that is above Israel, or what is above Israel, is Russia. And we do have a problem with Russia in this world right now. What if this is the precursor, or what if this is happening, that Russia is going to come down and attack Israel? It also says in there that the power from the north will link up with Persia, which is modern-day Iran. Modern-day Iran, I do believe, is sponsoring the Hamas terrorist group. What if that's going to happen? I can't tell you that that's what's going to happen, but I can tell you this. Israel is God's land. The Jewish nation is God's chosen people, and there's a specific warning to those that decide to come against God's chosen people, and they better watch out, because vindication is coming in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Israel, once again, is God's people. And we as the Christian church need to make sure that each and every day we are lifting Israel up in prayer. That we are constantly thinking about God's people. Because everything that happens to Israel, everything that is going on with Israel, it matters to us. If you read God's Word, and you believe in God's Word, then you stay focused on God's people and God's land. Keep Israel in your prayers, day in and day out. It's very important that the Christian church realizes how important Israel is to us. Amen? But today, with everything that's going on in the world, everything that happens on a world stage, everything that happens in our community, we have a lot of people that are still having trouble. A couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about trusting in the Lord. That verse was, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And we still have a lot of Christians that don't understand how to do that. We have a lot of Christians in the midst of every chaotic thing that is going on in the world. They don't understand how they can trust in the Lord. They don't understand how to keep going in these circumstances and situations. I'm here to tell you that God doesn't want us to sit around in pity. God doesn't want us to sit around and wait for something to happen. We're supposed to be watching and listening, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not watching at the war that's going on over there. It doesn't upset me that bullets are flying in the air or missiles are flying in the air. What I'm doing, ladies and gentlemen, because I know the Word of God, is I'm listening. And I'm listening to the sound of that trumpet. That's what we all want to hear. Amen. I want to hear the sound of the trumpet where Jesus steps out on the cloud and God says, "Son, go get my children." That's what I want to hear. But until I hear that trumpet sound, we have work to do, ladies and gentlemen. We have to make it sure that we are walking through this chaotic world and everything that is thrown at us, trusting in the Lord and using all of the precious gifts that He has given us to continue the work of God, the kingdom of God here in history. We still have work to do. Why do we still have work to do? Because we still have brothers and sisters who don't know Jesus as our Lord, as Lord and Savior. Because there are still people right now in this world that are starving to know the truth that only the gospel of Christ can set them free. And until the very last person accepts Jesus Christ, that God intends to accept Christ as Savior, we, brothers and sisters, have work to do. We have work to do. And the only way to do it is with what God gives us. He gives us all of the tools. He gives us all of the strength that we need because He gives us as Christ followers. Notice I use the word Christ followers. I didn't say Christian because too many people nowadays use the word Christian loosely. And they associate it with too many things that are not actually Christian and are not actually biblical. I said Christ follower. Every single one of us who are true followers and believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have received the greatest gift, and the only thing that we need to power through and have perseverance through what is going on in this world. And that, my brothers and sisters, is God's Holy Spirit. I want you to look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I may read all of it. I get excited when I read this passage of Scripture, this chapter, because it is so powerful. But look at it, starting in verse 1. It says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit is in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." Verse 3. "What the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit." If you are a Christ follower, ladies and gentlemen, then your mind is set upon the things of God's Spirit. You are continually thinking about the pure and holy and righteous deeds of Christ Almighty and the pure and holy and righteous things that God has for you to do here in history. The Bible says in verse 7, "The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God, because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him." If you belong to Christ Jesus, if you are saved by His amazing grace through God's amazing mercy, if you have placed your faith in Christ, then you have God's Holy Spirit living within you. You belong to Father God. Verse 10 says, "Now if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. Verse 12 says, so then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The Spirit testifies that we are God's children. Because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, you are God's children. One of my favorite movies or comic books of all time is the movie Iron Man. How many of you saw that movie Iron Man a few years back? I know some of you are a little bit older. Maybe you saw the comic book. Well, Iron Man was a battle-wounded soldier. He was on the brink of death. But this scientist saw that there was something that could be done that could keep this man living. So he created a reactor or a power core of sorts. And he placed that power core into his chest, the chest of Iron Man. And as he placed this power core into the chest of Iron Man was able to live. Not only was he able to live and function, but he was also able to defeat the villains, the evil that was attacking Earth. And with that power core, he was a superhero. Now, I know this is comic books. I know that sounds Hollywood. However, we have something that is far more powerful than what Iron Man had as in that power core. A power core that they said in the actual movie, they said was more powerful than 3 nuclear generators. Think about Grand Gulf. Think about 3 times the power of what Grand Gulf can produce. That was in the size of a tennis ball wrapped in metal in this guy's chest. And he was utilizing this to save the world from all of the evil. But we have something that is far more powerful, because we have the power of the living God, the Holy Spirit, living within us to fight the evil and everything that evil brings upon this world. The Holy Spirit of God. There is no match for the Holy Spirit of God in this world. Listen to what Romans chapter 8 verse 11 says. It says, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if you are born again, lives within you. As Christians, the Bible clearly tells us that the power of the Holy Spirit is within us and has been with us ever since the day of Pentecost. Ever since the day of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit has lived within the followers of Christ Jesus. It hasn't always been like this, though. In the Old Testament, if you read back into the Old Testament, it rarely happened. One instance that I found where it said that the power was inside of someone was Bezalel. He was the architect of the temple in Exodus chapter 35. But after that, what you see is the power was not inside of someone in the Old Testament. The power came unto someone. As a matter of fact, in Judges chapter 6, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon as he blew the trumpet and summoned Israel together to go against the Midianites. In Judges chapter 14, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson as he ripped apart the lion with his bare hands as he would a young goat. In 1 Samuel, Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And it says, from that day, the Spirit of the Lord was upon David. Over and over and over again, if you look through the Old Testament, God's Spirit came upon certain people to do certain tasks, to give them the power and the ability to do it for specific purposes. The Spirit came upon them. But after Jesus came on the scene, that changed everything, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, we can say and agree today, and I want to hear you say amen. We can agree today that when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, everything changes. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus changes everything. He changed the world when God the Father strapped on the sandals of humanity, walked in the dust of the earth, strapped on the human flesh, and endured everything that we endure as individuals. Everything changed when Jesus Christ came on the earth. In John chapter 14, the Bible says this: Jesus promised, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives within you and will be within you." This is Jesus saying, "I'm here right now, but I'm not always going to be with you. And when I leave from here, I'm not going to leave you alone to tackle everything that you are going to see and everything that is going to happen and every situation and every circumstance and every problem. I'm not going to leave you alone. Never will I leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I'm always going to be with you. And I'm going to leave my Holy Spirit, not just to be with you, but to be inside of you." John chapter 7, verse 38, the Bible says that things were going to be a little bit different. Things were going to be just a little bit different. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Jesus was talking about, brothers and sisters, He was talking about God's Holy Spirit. Everyone who knows Him, everyone who believes in Him, the Spirit had not yet been given, but the Spirit was going to be given. The reason Jesus was saying it hadn't been given yet is because He had not been glorified yet. Remember when they came to Him outside the tomb and He said, "Whoa, wait a minute, don't touch me, because I have not been to my Father yet." His body had not been glorified yet. But on the day of Pentecost, praise God Almighty, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16. It says, "Don't you know that you yourself are now God's temple? And that the Holy Spirit of God lives within you?" I want you to think about this. If you have given your life to Jesus, praise God. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, have asked forgiveness of your sins, and are in a repentant relationship with Father God, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Ask yourself, is the Spirit of God living within me? Because if you truly accept, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart that Christ Jesus is Lord. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. And believe in your heart that Christ died and rose again. That you shall be saved. And once you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Your name is scribed within the Lamb's Book of Life. Ask yourself today, does the Holy Spirit actually reside in me? Do I feel the presence of God? Especially when I'm at my lowest. Do I feel the presence of God? Because I'm telling you, once you accept Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, He doesn't leave. He's not like some old girlfriend that moves out. The Holy Spirit stays there. If you are a Christ follower, praise the Lord. The promised Holy Spirit dwells within you to help you overcome every obstacle that you will face in this life. Will help you walk through every situation that you go through. Will help you persevere through every single one of your problems. Will give you the courage to face every challenge that life throws your way. And God says He will never, ever, ever leave you. Never will he leave you. I want to look a little bit closer at what actually it means to have God's Holy Spirit living within us. So we're going to get a little specific. God's Holy Spirit gives us the ability to deal with the brokenness in our lives. The brokenness. And if you think about it, there's brokenness all around us. And we deal with brokenness at all times. And God's Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do this. You know, Iron Man was a wounded man. He was a broken man, if I think back at this comic book. And his life was ruined by battle. There was a battle wound that could have taken his life. It could have destroyed his entire life. But when that power core was installed within inside of him, this Iron Man, this superhero, he was given the ability to live again. Without that power core, he would have died. Let me tell you something. Without the Holy Spirit of God, every single one of us will die. In the book of Ephesians, powerful. This is so powerful. In the book of Ephesians, Paul tells us, he says, we have been made alive. Say the word alive. We have been made alive with Christ Jesus. And without him, we are as good as dead. Without Christ, we are as good as dead. In the book of Romans, the chapter before, chapter 8 and chapter 7, verses 15 through 24, Paul tells us how he's seen life and what the damage that sin will do to the heart of every single one of us. He said because of sin, even when he wanted to do right, he couldn't get it done. Listen to what the Word says. It says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree the law is good. In other words, his sin proved that the law was right when it condemned him as a sinner. If you have the Holy Spirit of God that is living with inside of you, if you sin, you're going to be convicted. Amen. There's going to be condemnation upon you if you sin. As a child of God, every time you sin, you are doing something that is against the holy and righteous God. And the Bible tells us specifically that sin and righteousness cannot be coupled together. Therefore, when you sin, no matter what it is, whether you commit adultery, whether you cuss, whether you lie, whether you are disobedient, disrespectful, whether you rob, steal, kill, no matter what you do that is against the holy and righteous God, the Holy Spirit of God will convict you of that sin. If you are sinning freely in this world and conviction is not brought upon you, then ladies and gentlemen, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you have a spiritual problem. I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen good. I want everybody who is listening to the sound of my voice, whether you're in this sanctuary or whether you are watching or whether you are listening on the radio, if you have a sin problem and you are continuously sinning and you don't have conviction because of those sins, then you have a spiritual problem. And God the Father is now today has sent a messenger to tell you, repent of your sins and give your life to Jesus. Everything that is going on in the world, yes, we could be living in the end times and praise God, Lord Jesus, come. I pray that he will come before the end of this service and my coat and my pants and my shoes will be laying right here. I pray that he comes. We don't know when he's coming back. We don't know when the end is near. We don't know when we're going to take our final breath in history. We don't know whether we're going to be taken over by terrorists. We don't know whether we're going to face a disease or a sickness or an illness that is going to take our lives. We don't know, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know from one moment to the next what is going to happen to us. And that is why we have to be ready and we have to be prepared. And the way that you prepare yourself is to give your life to Jesus. Make him the Lord of your life. and all of this mess that goes on, you can walk through it with a confident assurance that no matter what happens, you take your final breath here, your next one will be in eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That should fire you up. That should excite you. Because you're living with the hope of eternal life. Listen to this. In chapter 7, he continues. He says, "As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin that is living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing." What Paul is saying is, there's so much temptation in this world. There's so much that I have to deal with living in a world that is controlled by Satan. And if you are a Christ follower, listen to me. Satan is chomping at your heels. He's there and he's trying to get you to stop doing what God wants you to do in this world. He's there trying to steal, kill, and destroy everything that is good and holy and righteous in this world. And if you are trying to follow the Lord, he's trying to get you to stop. He wants you to cease and he wants you to desist. Does he care that you're sitting here in this church today? Absolutely not. What he cares about is you going out there and doing what God has called you to do, and that is to speak the name of Jesus without doubt. To boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world around you so other people would know the grace and the mercy of God. Satan doesn't mind if you're sitting here in church today. But he wants to stop you from doing what God wants you to do in this world. He wants to stop you from reaching your neighbors and your co-workers. He wants to stop you from growing in who you are in Christ. He wants to stop the work of the kingdom of God. But praise be to God, the Holy Spirit that's living within you is stronger than anything Satan can bring against you. Woo! He says this, he says, "Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" That's what life is like without God's Spirit living within you. Without God's Spirit living within you, it's like you are living inside of a tomb. Like there's a tomb inside of your body. And I'm certain that if you're listening to me right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's something that is nagging at you right now. Oftentimes, even those that are Christians, even those that say they know Jesus Christ, there's something always nagging at them because they think that they've messed everything up or they think that they're not good enough to be saved. What wretched creatures. Who could possibly fix us with all that we've done wrong? Had a conversation with a young man last night. He said, "I sin all the time." We all do. Because we're human. And in our flesh, temptation hits us each and every day. And what we have to do is, as we continually grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to continually work with God as He fixes us. Because every day that we live in a repentant relationship with Father God, He is always, constantly fixing us. Before Jesus Christ, you and I, we were broken inside. There's something inside of us that we can't fix without Jesus. There's a sin problem inside of us that we can't fix without Jesus. But Paul said this after he said all of this about what it's like to live without Jesus in your life. He said this in verse 25 of chapter 7. He said, "Thanks be to God Through Jesus Christ our Lord, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of the Spirit of death. You have been set free from the law of the Spirit of death by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have been set free. And not only have you been set free, you have been made alive in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you, Cindy, if there's something wrong with me, I want to go to the doctor. Because there's something inside of me that I can't fix. When I have a cold or a cough or I'm sick, I need to go to a doctor so he can give me something so that inside of me what is broken can be fixed. But I'm telling you, there is nothing that can fix the sin problem that is inside of you except Jesus Christ, the one and only healer. Amen? The only physician that can fix the sin problem that is within you, it is Jesus. I need to be able to trust that doctor to remove those diseased cells that are within me with the pill or the shot or the surgery. But I'm telling you, the only thing that can fix the sin problem that is within us is Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us, that is designed to get within us, is repairing what is broken. It is removing the diseased parts of our souls. It is making us new again. And He does it because He is living. And He is active. And He is alive. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is not dead. Jesus Christ is alive today as He ever was. He is today sitting at the right hand of the Father, and praise be to God, He is coming back soon. But He didn't leave you in this world to face the obstacles and the situations and the circumstances and the problems and all of the chaos that we have. He gave His Holy Spirit to be within you until He returns. Until He returns, you as a Christ follower have God's Holy Spirit. If you are God's child through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have been fixed, you have been healed, there is no more brokenness, you are a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you have royal blood that is flowing through your veins. The trials that you face in this life have been won. The problem that you go through have been solved. The devil has been defeated, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God. And you have been set free. Am I excited? Absolutely. Hallelujah. And you should be too. Because you have been set free. Jesus said this. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world, you will have trial and you will have sorrow. You will look at the newspaper and you will see that your own kids are shooting one another. The children of your community are shooting one another. In this world, you will face health scares. You will face financial problems. You will face families who fight and bicker and argue and can't get along. You will have problems with your neighbors. We will have country that is fighting against country. You will have people in major cities in the United States saying death to America. You will have people that will attack and come against God's chosen people. You will have turmoil and you will have chaos and you will have everything that Satan wants to throw at you to try to discourage you and get you to stop working for the kingdom of God. All of these things will come. But Jesus said, I have told you these things, that all of this is going to happen because in me you can have peace. In this world, you will have trial and you will have sorrow, but in me, you can have peace because I, Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all, I have overcome this world. There is nothing more powerful than the power of Christ Jesus. This world has nothing on the power of Christ and His power, His resurrection power, the power of the Holy Spirit lives within you. And every battle that you will face in this life, every battle that the Christ follower will face in this life, every battle that the Christian people, the Christ following people in this world, every battle, the victory has already been won. I've read the last page of the Bible. I know who wins. His name is Jesus. I want you to think about this as a child of God. He's constantly fixing you. He's constantly every day fixing you as you continually walk in your human flesh. He is every day removing the deadness of your sin. As you have asked forgiveness of your sins and you repent of these sins, He is removing the deadness, that dead skin, those dead cells. He is faithfully healing every one of us from the inside out. So that when we appear before Him, we will appear clean. We will appear righteous. Because we've been set free, ladies and gentlemen, once again, from this law of sin and death. By the law of the Spirit of everlasting life. But there's more. There's more that should excite you. Because He doesn't just set you free from sin. He empowers you to live. He empowers you to live and to do what Father God has designed you to do. And what does He design us to do? He designed us to fulfill His will, to do His work. He designed us to empower us to complete His mission, the Great Commission. Amen? The Holy Spirit empowers us to do the work to bring other people to Christ Jesus. Because when Jesus died, He said, we will do greater things than He. And what started to build God's church, like with Peter and James and John and Andrew and Simon and Stephen and Mark and Paul, what started with these individuals, He continues on with us. He expects us to continue each and every day to bring a little piece of eternity down here into history. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 verse 26, it tells us that we're designed to keep moving. And one of the ways that we keep moving, one of the ways that we continually trust is not only do we have the Holy Spirit, but we have prayer. And the Holy Spirit intercedes with us. Listen to what the Word says in chapter 8, verse 26. It says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Sometimes we just don't know what to pray for because everything just seems like it's falling apart. Well, if you're God's child, He knows. He knows, ladies and gentlemen. He knows your heart. He knows what's on your mind. I believe that He hears every single prayer. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says that we are to pray without ceasing. Sometimes we just have to get on our knees and we have to say, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't have an answer for this, but I know You do. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you get down on your knees, when you are down, God is up. And He's up to something. Amen? When you're down, He's up. I want you to think about that. When we're down, God is always up to something. And we have a direct line as believers in Jesus Christ. We have a direct line. We're never going to get a busy signal. We're never going to be put on hold. We're never going to get voicemail. The Holy Spirit is always interceding with the Creator for us. And we are always directly, when we pray in the name of Jesus, we are always directly patched into Father God. He knows. He knows our joys. He knows our sorrows. He knows our emotions. He understands everything that we feel, and the Holy Spirit that's right here inside of us, that powerful presence that we have right here inside of us. No matter what you're going through, your Father is with you because His Spirit is within you. Can you hear me? No matter what you're going through, your Father is with you because His Spirit is within you. God not only loved this world so much that He gave His Son, Jesus. He gave Jesus, and Jesus came and lived a perfect life. He lived as an example as to how we're supposed to live. And He let Jesus pay for our sins on the cross at Calvary. But not only did He pay for our sins, not only did Jesus live a perfect life and leave an example for us to try to follow, He left His Spirit with us, and He is active in turning around lives every single day and interceding for us. Every single moment. What that says to me is that when my life is falling apart and everything around me is falling apart, because I'm trusting in Him and I'm leaning not on my own understanding, I'm trusting in Him. What that's telling me, when everything is falling apart, that He already has a plan to fix it. So when you're going through stuff in your life, when you're scrolling through social media, when you're turning on the news and you're seeing all this bad stuff that's going on, there's a problem. But God's always got a solution for the problem. I want you to think about this, and I wrote this down. I don't want to mess it up because I want to read it to you. If you struggle financially, God knows the cost. If you struggle physically, He bears the pain. If you struggle emotionally, He feels the hurt. If you're struggling with guilt, He's already bore the shame. He feels all of your pain and the hurt that you deal with in your life. And when you feel like you are at the end of your rope, God is right there rolling out more. When you feel like you are struggling and you can't go on, and all you can do is fall to your knees and look up to the Lord and say, "Father, what now?" You remember that God the Father is sitting on the throne and He is in charge. What did I say? When you're down on your knees, God is what? He is up to something. When you feel like you can't go on any further, you're His child. And the Father always takes care of His children, and He is always up to something. It doesn't matter what happens in your life. The Holy Spirit is interceding for you. And the book of Romans, chapter 8, says all good things come work. All things work for the good of those who love the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, I mentioned this, and I'm going to close with this. In Acts chapter 2, we're told of how the church began. We're told that the Holy Spirit comes down and the power upon the apostles, and they begin speaking in languages of unknown tongues. They begin speaking in languages they've never heard, and a large crowd follows Peter and surrounds Peter. And Peter stands up and he delivers this powerful sermon of how Jesus came to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, he said, "Let all Israel be assured of this, that God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." I believe what he was doing is he is saying, you crucified the Messiah. It's your fault that he's dead. But then he says this in Acts chapter 2:37. He says, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, 'Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do?'" The crowd at this particular time, They were so convicted by Peter's sermon that they interrupted him. They interrupted him and they said, how do we fix this problem? How do we fix our relationship with God? And in chapter 2, verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized. This is God's promise to us. If we respond in faith, and we repent and we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit will come and live within us. The Bible is telling us that if we accept Jesus on His terms, then He will replace what's old and dirty and nasty and broken within us with His Holy Spirit, which is pure and righteous and good. It's that power core that we need to continue to live in Christ Jesus. By faith in Jesus. By placing your faith in Jesus Christ, you receive eternal life and you receive God's Holy Spirit. And it will guide you, it will direct you, it will move you, and it will make you into everything that God wants you to be. When I go back and I think about this Iron Man comic book, I think about that power core, which was really essential for his survival. Without the power core, his heart would shut down. If that power core were removed, he would die. But without the Spirit of God within us, we will die. Without God's Holy Spirit within you, you will die. God's Holy Spirit, given to us by the sacrificed blood of Jesus Christ, is the only thing between us and judgment. And without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, without the Holy Spirit being dwelt with that inside of you, without that power core inside of you, you won't go to heaven. You will spend eternity in hell, separated from Christ Jesus. But God doesn't want that. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it tells us that once we became Christians, listen to what the Word says, we were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. In the last day, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about the last days that the Bible talks about. I'm not talking about the Battle of Armageddon. I'm not talking about what people are saying that now we're living in the last days. In the last day, before you come before the judgment seat of God, that's the day I'm talking about. In that last day, God is going to look over your past, and He's going to look at your life, and He's going to see everything that you've done. But He's going to look and see if you've been sealed by His Holy Spirit, because you have placed your faith and your trust in His Son, Jesus. Because if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you will live with Him in eternity forever. You won't have to endure the fiery pits of hell. You will be greeted with the words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Today, as we close, I want you to ask yourself, are those the words that I'm going to hear when I stand before Almighty God? Is he going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Have I truly done what I had to do to make sure that when my time is up, no matter how that happens, that I'm going to be saved. And I'm going to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because if you have doubt in your mind right now today, that today God is telling you, ask him for forgiveness of your sins and make a commitment to him. Ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. So his Holy Spirit will come dwell within you and you can make it through anything that the world throws at you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Christ Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for this message that you have given us. And we thank you, Father, that you have sealed us, Christ followers, with your Holy Spirit. So that we can face every battle that comes our way. So that we can persevere through every problem that comes our way. So that we can have the strength to overcome any situation. So that we can have the courage to face the challenges of life. Father, I pray if there's someone here in this sanctuary today or someone that is listening or watching, I pray, Father, if they don't know your Son, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, if they have not truly been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I pray that today that they will call upon Jesus as their Lord. Ask for forgiveness of their sins. Repent of those sins and live to follow him forevermore. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this church. Lord, we ask you to be with our pastor and his wife. And Father, most importantly, we pray, right, once again for Israel. And we pray, Father, that your hand will be upon him. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Chris and Lou, of our benediction this morning, something you said struck a song lyric in my mind. You said, free from the law, O happy condition, Jesus hath bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace has redeemed us once and for all. Amen. Let's stand for our
looked at in God's Word today. I pray that it weighs upon you. And I pray that as you leave here today, you realize how much God loves you. And you realize that he has something for each of us to do so that we can bring just a little piece of heaven here into his world and continue on his work until he comes. Amen.
Amen.
Mike, will you close us in?
Yes. Father, thank you for this day. We just thank you so much that you've assembled us here. And we just pray, Lord, that as we go this morning, God, that we will continue a life of servanthood and that we will just stay close to you. God, you are our protector, our healer, and we just give you all the honor, glory, and praise. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.